Warning, the following is the officially sanctioned podcast
about the show, about four lifelong friends
who compete to embarrass each other in public.
You know the one.
The official Impractical Jokers podcast.
Yeah!
Oh, baby!
Woo! Back!
Thank God, Casey Just.
What a long break, James McCarthy.
Oh my God, I feel like in Hocus Pocus when that scarecrow man finally gets his mouth unzipped and all the dust flies out.
In what?
It's Hocus Pocus.
Oh, yes. I just know that one song, the one that the three witches sing.
Oh, I put a spell on you.
Yeah.
You hear that? Well, for all our Bette Midler and IJ fans, we're back. And that reference is for you.
I think there's a Marilyn Manson version of that song. So that's the one I know.
Oh, all right. Yes. For our Marilyn Manson fans, that's Tina Santamoro.
Tina is back as well. And we actually have a very special guest, a person that I find hysterically funny. She's been on the Impractical Jokers cruise. I'll start with that credit. The lovely Jessica Kirsten.
Yes, yay. Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
What I like to do is to introduce the guest and then hit their credits.
Oh, that's fine. That's much more comfortable for me.
Yeah, you got HBO's Crashing, Robert De Niro's The Comedian, The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, The View, Kevin Can Wait, and a regular contributor to Howard Stern Show.
Yep, and I'm performing in a restaurant tonight.
Hey.
Yeah, amazing. So things are going really well.
What kind of restaurant?
It's an Italian place, and they'll probably just be talking, but at least like I need to get paid a certain amount now to do it. I used to do it for nothing. I would just do it for like a chicken dinner.
Right.
But now I need to get paid well.
It's funny. Other comedians want to hear about those gigs more than like the giant gigs.
Of course.
If you play like Madison Square Garden, no one cares. If you're like, I played like this weird hole in the wall in Staten Island, people are like, whoa, what was the crowd like? Tell me everything.
Yeah. The stories are incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, incredible. The worst one I ever did was a barn in New Jersey that is now a Holocaust museum. So there were Holocaust artifacts there, and I had to perform, and it was a singles event. It was literally
wow.
That's not a joke. There were about 30 people there, and they were so miserable because it was a singles event.
Yeah.
And they gave out like wine and cheese. There were artifacts from the Holocaust, and it was a barn. I'm my children. This is a true story.
That is That is really hard.
Yeah.
I was about to say, like, I had to one time do like a fire department benefit, and they had just all the men have like golfed all day long.
Yeah, I've done those.
And they just sat down to eat, and they were like, ladies and gentlemen, Casey just, and I was like, oh God, here's like my
horrible.
Weird alt jokes.
In like probably a bright room that's not really made for comedy.
They wouldn't have liked me on there like at the best time.
Yeah.
And then like this was like they you know, I didn't bring the goods.
Food goes down and you have to start doing comedy, it's a disaster.
Yeah.
Especially for my people, the Jews or Italians. If you put food down, no one is going to listen to one word you say.
And add Holocaust Museum, and it's
it's so hard.
What a mixed thing.
I know. Isn't that unbelievable? It sounds like I'm making it up, but it's really true.
It sounds like a Joker's punishment.
Right, exactly. It does.
Like, you know,
it really
like
does.
We wouldn't be able to produce it.
Yeah, what's the name of this place? We need to...
I don't know, but if you look it up, it's there. It's a literal... I never knew it existed, and I'm from New Jersey.
Yeah.
And you also, with the Howard Stern Show, you produce and star in some of the prank calls.
Yeah, I've been doing prank calls for them for years.
Prank calls are the best.
It's my favorite thing to do. I did it on my podcast the other day to Chris DiStefano.
Plug your podcast.
Oh, great.
I have a podcast called Relatively Sane, where Sal did my podcast. I interviewed him.
Okay, everyone's going to listen to that first episode.
Yes, it's awesome.
And get hooked.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
Chris DiStefano is like the funniest guy in the world, too.
He is so funny. But I was recording a podcast and my manager was like, let's prank Chris DiStefano like out of nowhere. So he answered and I was like, hi, Chris. I met you like weeks ago in LA and I'm going to be in New York. And he's like, I got him really into it.
Wow.
I'm like, where are you going to be? And he's like, well, what do you look like again? I'm like,
oh my God, I'm so hot. I'm 5'8", in really good shape. I have dark hair.
And he's like, oh yeah, let's definitely.
Incredible.
It was amazing.
That's so amazing. Funny. He's probably the easiest person to prank.
Oh, he's so gullible. And if it's a woman, forget it. Like if you say you're hot or, you know, he's...
you just have to say you're hot. And that's it. And he buys in.
Yeah,
and
it doesn't even matter.
Wow. This was a fantastic episode. And this challenge really just like shocked me with how funny it was. I was crying. I was screaming. You know, like when people like...
I have to tell you, I was too. And it takes me a lot to laugh like that. Mm-hmm. I was screaming laughing.
Screaming.
I mean, it was really funny.
Nut checks that made
The entire episode made me laugh.
That's great.
A lot of it. It was really great.
That's great to hear. The guys will always say anytime they could be one-on-one with a Mark in a room is like their favorite.
And Mark, Jessica, we say Mark when it's like, you know that in the prank world, it's the person that's like in the situation. Yeah. But we're explaining it for also the people at home who forget. It's been a while. So yeah, when in this they're right across from a person. And this is kind of like, it's not like an intimate detail, but when you're talking about like your dietary structure, you know, you get personal. So the stakes are high. Yeah, is what I'm saying. And literally, steak is something that might come up in nutrition. This is great. I mean, definitely not mark of the episode.
I enjoyed it. No, not the mark of the episode. I enjoyed it, though, because I got to say nut check.
That was you?
That was me. That was you?
You
knew.
Yeah. That,
wow.
The way that works is right before they shoot, you get a text from Gatto that says, record yourself saying nut check.
Wow, that was good.
Yeah, thank you.
You know what? I didn't know whose voice it was.
I didn't either.
And when Gatto came in, I was like, oh, I guess it was his, but it didn't seem like his. But that was just to like,
they needed
fun.
It, and like we throw it on a press-to-play speaker, and then the guys are just hitting it from the back.
Beautiful.
I thought it was him when he walked in and said that, but I laughed so when you kept pressing it, like nut check, nut check, nut check, nut check. It
was
so
incredible.
Funny.
I actually was like, I kind of want that in my life. Sometimes the jokers come up with ideas that I'm like, oh, that would be useful.
Nut check.
Like if someone's just like,
you should have it.
If someone was just like sip of water, I would be like hydrated. Right. I'd be more hydrated in my life.
Yeah.
Smile.
That's nice. Yeah. Wow, that's positive. See, now we're onto something.
Smile would be good.
I was smiling during Sal's bit, especially when food is stored in your breast.
Oh, that was so funny. I was dying. I loved that he turned like the word to intimacy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he's
that
nervous.
That was really smart. It was really smart, though.
I agree.
Very smart. He's always thinking about word choice and delivery, and it's a really like if you're watching this like as if it's like almost like a sport in a way, it's like the magic of watching like Sal play the game. It's like so fun. It's like really, it's like you're watching like LeBron James or something. He's the LeBron James of Impractical Jokers.
I mean,
he's just like watching him run the court and do his thing. It's fantastic.
You know, it's funny. My breakdown of that is that this was a right fit for him.
Yeah.
He is, for a guy who's like a heavier guy, he knows a lot about nutrition. Like, which makes it funny because, like, he and I have conversations. He knows what not to eat. Right. I think, like, in general, like, I'm a former heavy person, and, like, I've always known my whole life what I shouldn't eat.
Yeah, me too.
And that's what makes it, like, even harder when you do take those, you eat, like, the bad stuff because you're like, I know this isn't the right thing to do.
And don't you love when someone's like, you know, you really should try it? And I'm like, do you I went to fat camp for 4 years.
Right.
I've been in every diet you could possibly. Yeah. I know everything there
I'm
is
a
to
sensei.
Me. Yeah. I am. Like, I know calories in everything. I just choose not to eat it sometimes.
Yeah. Like I'm a complete psycho about food because like, you know, I was just like, I drilled it into my brain. You know what I mean? And Sal is like that. Him and I have these conversations. So when he gets behind the desk and starts talking about nutrition, I'm like, I believe it. He knows what he's talking about, even more so than some of the other guys. Like, you know, if it's talking about another thing, like maybe a timeshare, I don't know, some other thing, I'm like, I don't know if I really believe it. Like, Murr can kind of BS his way through anything.
Mm-hmm.
But with nutrition, I was like, Sal knows what he's talking about. He's going through there.
Yeah,
he's
was convincing.
Right.
He really was.
He had authority on the subject.
Absolutely.
And then we get to what I think is one of the highlights of the show for me. Like this was this, I watched this like on a laptop because, you know, we watched like an earlier cut of some of this stuff. And I waited for the fine cut for this moment.
Right.
I watched it with headphones into my laptop and I was like enthralled in this entire next sequence of events. Yeah. Murr behind the couch. Then it leads to him getting out the door. Gatto being, I'm going in. It's going to be my turn. towards. He's bringing up the Buffalo nickel on his desk. Did you notice? I didn't notice this the first time. I had to go back. Sal dives onto the couch.
Yes.
In the background. You saw this?
Mm-hmm. I didn't notice that.
I always love what's going on in the background.
I'm sorry. I thought you meant...
Oh, not the couch, in the room.
Right. Yeah, when Sal did that, I laughed out loud really hard. He did a body dive into the couch.
It was so... I didn't miss it the first time.
And didn't it move a little bit?
Yes, it did. Yes. I think it's, you know, we've all had that experience where we laugh so hard that we have to physically move.
Oh, right. 100%. Yeah. It's insane. That was the overview, and now I want to dive into it. Like Sal did a couch, and so Amira's behind the, like, it all organically happens so beautifully, and that's like what's my favorite part of this show. Mer gets the command to like have to stick behind the couch. Sal's like, you're there for 6 minutes. It gets deeper. He gets behind it. I gotta say that this guy is my mark of the episode. He might beat Grandma Deadpool, it was a reference to a woman from like the beginning of this season who was like my mark of the season. And this guy is phenomenal. Like,
unbelievable.
He's great.
He's crucial to the comedy. He's like the perfect straight man in that he's like, uh-huh, yeah, okay, I'll keep talking about this.
Yeah.
Keeps talking. And then like when he is like, is he a white mother?
Oh my God!
Bald white motherfucker.
What do you look like?
Bald guy. He's kind of skinny.
Bald guy, skinny.
Yeah. He got glasses on.
Bald guy, skinny glasses. Yeah.
Was he a white motherfucker?
Was he a white motherfucker?
Yeah.
He laughed when he said that.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, committing to that kind of stuff physically, because I've done so many pranks and videos online and stuff. I'll have to say in my head, like, don't, just do it. Just do it. It's okay. It's okay. Like, I literally have conversations with myself while I'm doing those things.
You have to step into the pants of a sociopath.
Yeah, you do. Like, I don't care. Yeah. This is for a laugh. This is for a laugh. I'm desperate. I need everyone to like me. So
this goes back to childhood.
Yeah. My mother wasn't around. But anyway, so when he had his knees and his butt in the air and was, I could not stop. Like, that just takes such guts.
I know.
To do, and the guy was so patient. He was just. Mm-hmm.
It's so true. And this is another, like you're saying, the guys have like an infinite amount of faith in each other, because in the room that Murray is in, there's no laughter. There is nothing else happening in that room. It is dead quiet. And you just have to trust your teammates in the back, right, basically, who are also against you, really, in our show. But that, like, they're laughing. And so it's like, well, they're laughing, so this must be funny. But this other reality, which is the reality like, of the room, is it's nothing. Yeah. Crickets. So weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All you have is a small earpiece in your ear where you could hear three people laugh.
Right.
Mm-hmm. At most. And like, if they're really laughing, it like peaks the whole thing. I've had that in my ear. Like if everyone's laughing, it's just, you hear distortion.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're like, you're swinging for distortion.
I know.
You're basically being like, let me try to do something so funny that like my earpiece distorts me and like hurts my hearing a little bit. That's what it's like to be an impractical joker.
And he's hoping every time he moves his leg or his butt that more people laugh.
Right.
It's really just like shooting in the dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That bit was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it got me in such a good mood. That's the thing that's beautiful about this bit. Like, we take a break off and now we have some new episodes. And if that's coming at you, you're like, I'm ready to go.
Yeah. And there's a very quick Pulp Fiction reference by Sal. If you're wondering what he's talking about, there's a scene with Christopher Walken in Pulp Fiction where he's talking about how he's talking to, I think, Bruce Willis's character as a child.
So Bruce Willis leaves his watch on the dresser, and then like his girlfriend forgets to give it to him. Let's just say that. I don't want to give you too much. And then he's like, that was my daddy's watch. And then it goes to the backstory.
If you're wondering what the scene was, that was a scene. Enjoy Pulp Fiction.
Please watch Pulp Fiction. Yeah. It's the best.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay. So then we got the next bit, which is, should I quit? This is a Joker versus Joker. Love throwing a Joker versus Joker at you.
And it's one of my favorite moments of the episode, though. When Joe Gatto is talking to this lady and Q tells him to say, you know, I can't believe this. After 10 years, I think this might be my final day on the job. And she goes,
yes, yes.
I know.
I just want to let you know it's been a pleasure serving you these past 10 years.
It's been a pleasure serving you for the past 10 years.
This store is not open 10 years.
No, I mean, with the company.
Oh.
This fairway hasn't been open for 10 years.
Isn't that amazing?
A true I know, but he caught it so fast.
So well, yeah.
That was incredible.
He's, he is a genius when it comes to this stuff. Joe Gatto is like the fast, like literally if it was like the Wild West, Joe would be the fastest gunslinger. But instead it's like 2020 and he could like say a response to something as quick as possible.
Yeah.
It's crazy that he was just like, I've been with the company.
Yeah. But that was such a great moment. It's been open for 10 years.
Oh, it was incredible.
It's genius. I mean, that was so funny that like that's what her priorities were. Like there's this man who's like, who's being like, oh, I've had it hard. I think I'm going to quit. Basically like winding up to talk about something. And this woman's like, it hasn't been open 10 years. Like just picking apart. Picking apart what he's saying. Like,
well, clearly, that's what something an older woman would do. Exactly. Like, correct you. Yeah, that's something my grandmother would always do. I didn't say that. I said, like, they're always correcting what you said. But you know what it made me think about? I was in the market the other day, and there was a guy in the produce aisle. This literally happened, like, 5 days ago, 4 or 5 days ago. And he was screaming. Like, these guys are little nuts that work in the produce department in supermarkets.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And they're all screaming at each other, and they're screaming about politics. And I'm like, why are they doing this out in the open?
Yeah,
you know, they're all screaming their opinion. Like, this is so inappropriate. Like,
I love
he doesn't have it. He's not going to do it. Like, and they're nuts. Like, they're nuts. They'll start talking
they're
to you
legumes,
while you're
actually legumes.
They're legumes. Yeah. But I went up to the guy and I said, I can't. I've turned into my mother. I walked up to him. I'm like, this is very inappropriate what you're doing. Like, this is, you're working. Yeah. And he's like, what's the problem? You don't like, he got very aggressive towards me. So when they were doing this, it reminds me of the people that are putting away apples. And, you know, I feel like they're all going to like go crazy.
No, it's funny you say that. There's a guy in this building, like the north, where the North South Productions headquarters is. And there's a guy who works like the front desk at the main
lobby.
Yeah. And he's so nice. He's always like, hey, how's it going? And I saw him outside talking to like a friend of his, and he was just like, this and that. You're like cursing up a storm. And I was just like, oh my God.
Nighttime guy.
I thought I knew you.
You got a little sad inside. You're like, oh, I thought he was so sweet.
Yeah, like changed everything.
He's like, Merry Christmas. And then he walks out. I was like, this bitch didn't call me.
Yeah, I was like, no judgment, but I was also like, judgment.
Yeah, of course. You see someone's true colors.
I know. I with that kind of stuff, I was almost like, I'm almost glad. Part of me was like, oh, I want you to always be that guy.
Because it's real.
I want
real.
You to be like, have a f***ing nice day.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm cool too. He's like, no.
We're probably bleeping all this, right, Tina?
Oh, yeah.
Good, good. Sure. I love a bleep. Mm-hmm. A well-placed bleep is better than the actual word itself.
I totally agree. It's more powerful to have a bleep.
I love
the word. Funniest thing you can do.
Yeah.
Oh, man. We have fun. So Should I Quit? You got Joe versus Q, and Joe did a good job quitting because they're making him wear gloves and when he cleans the toilets.
Yeah.
Chronic pink eye was hysterical.
That it is a disease you get as a kid, and then like if you have kids you get it. Like it's just like
my daughter just had it in both eyes. I kept her outside on the terrace.
So contagious.
He locked her out of
Mommy's
the house
not
for
getting
a week.
This. Yeah, not you have to take
it's
care of yourself.
It's such a funny one because it's so minuscule. Like it, like in terms of other diseases, but people are like, it's plague.
It's like bed bugs of the face.
Because
it's like you just want to quarantine.
Perfectly
around.
Perfectly said. Bed bugs of the face.
And you look, it's itchy. It's really gross.
Mm-hmm. A friend of mine recently got 2 styes in the same eye.
Really?
Yeah. And it was like right after the new year. And he was like, this is the worst way to start the year. And, and it was like, that's almost in some ways worse than pink eye. Cause pink eye, you can't really see unless you're close. This is like, you can see from a lot, like a far, especially 2 in one eye.
They need to hibernate.
And it's painful.
It's painful.
Aren't they? They're painful.
Yeah. Sal got one. I was with Sal and he got the sty. No shade. Okay. No judgment, guys. But, I told him to put a, tea bag.
That's what you're supposed to do.
And he thought I was like messing with him.
Right.
He was like, shut up, like tea bag myself.
No, I know, but you are supposed to put a tea bag on it.
And he was just like, okay, yeah, great. Okay, I'm going to put a Lipton right on my eye right now.
Lipton.
Yeah.
Do you soak it first?
Yes.
Yeah. You put it in hot water and you keep it hot and you take like a warm compress. So now we're giving out, we're helping people.
Oh,
right.
No, this is great.
That's what we're meant to be doing.
This is nutrition.
Yeah.
The guys, like in this episode, when they're sick, they still got to come to work. Like Murr's got his whole, in the beginning of Nutritionist, he's got all all of that crap out there. All the cold medicine and stuff. They got to keep going. Show must go on.
Yeah. Sal used to get sick the most, and now I think Murr gets sick the most.
Yeah.
I feel like Murr is like coming down with something all the time. And then Sal's like, why is he here? And it's like, well, you have to film a show, but. He's like, most people would be like, that's great. He's like still showing up for work, no matter how he feels. Sal's like, why is he showing up for work?
Yeah.
All right. So then we got Q is quitting because Tobey Maguire shops there and he doesn't want him to see where he works. This is a great turn.
I just love still calling Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. There's been like 15 other Spider-Men since him.
And I don't think the guy knew what he was talking about.
No.
I don't think he knew who Tobey Maguire was.
I love his energy though. He was just like, just calm down.
Yeah.
I know. I think I would have gone Seabiscuit over Spider-Man.
Go to Cider House Rules.
Good Toby.
Yeah, great Toby.
Good Toby. This is great. And then he gets the win on a technicality, which is the story of Q.
That is very true. Q always wins on some kind of BS loophole.
Yeah.
Usually because he'll fight for it, which I love to see. He's a fighter.
That's good.
Yeah.
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 I believe he was a fighter man. Is that what it was?
I think he was a fighter man. Yeah.
Fighter man. He was the New York City fighter man.
Yeah, exactly.
The next one you both were in, weren't you?
That's right.
You guys in overalls?
Uh-huh. We were in overalls. Me hiding in the back.
This is a crazy day.
Yeah.
We filmed a bunch of stuff this day, and then it's getting used in a fun way. This was just one turn, Q versus Murr. Q's got the mob in this one. We filmed a few of them, so you might see some other ones coming up, maybe on some after party.
Maybe a little after party.
Because some of them were like the guys literally that day were like, this is one of the weirdest bits we've ever done.
I think they saw it as the rest of us were getting into makeup. On after party, I think we have the version where we're all clowns. Did that make the cut? There's a few different versions out there. Sometimes we get asked if a game ever fails. No, it doesn't fail, but sometimes we'll cut turns.
Yeah.
And they'll end up on like after party and stuff. And so from this game, this was like, I think like the most successful turn. And some of the other ones were like, yeah, we may have gone too far. Maybe this got a little too like pranky. Like the other marks and stuff were kind of like, oh, these clowns are not real. Am I on a prank show? We're like, you might be. Might be on a show. there are cameras everywhere.
Yeah, it was pretty. It was pretty fun though. Like
very
like,
fun. I enjoyed it.
I'm sure it looks crazy, but when we were filming, it was so fun. Just running around. Which park was it? That was in Fort Greene.
That was in Fort Greene. Yeah,
and it looked hysterical to me.
It was great.
I have a question. Why was her face shaded?
Oh, because she didn't sign a release.
Got it.
So she was great. She, you know, she just said what. She said, and then
yelled "Go vegan" at the end.
I know, that's probably why she didn't sign the release.
Yeah. Which Gatto then listened to.
Now
he's vegan.
That's why Joe is vegan now.
That
really hit him hard.
You guys like, see it, but yeah. So sometimes that happens where a person. It's just like I'm in a hurry. I have to run, and then you keep. Right. What are you gonna do?
Sometimes surprised that just from doing this so many times myself in other ways and not on a network, of course, but in videos that usually you couldn't use the person at all. So I was so glad that you could use her, but just have her faceless.
You just have to blur her enough,
right?
And if they speak a lot, then sometimes you have to alter the voice
a little bit. We've done that. Yeah, we try to be fair for identity because that's important, privacy.
Yeah.
But we also sometimes our technique is to like if they are in a rush and they really have to go, we try to get some like email or some way to contact them in case. Like they have they reconsider. Right.
That's what they do on the Stern Show. It's the exact same thing.
Cool.
You just try to get in touch with them later and say, come on.
Yeah.
Please.
Can I ask a question? Has anyone not signed a release because they were not supposed to be there and maybe they were cheating on someone?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why I find that so exciting.
More so,
that's so interesting.
I haven't heard the cheating on someone one. I've heard the I'm supposed to be at work.
Oh, you got that? So season one, I think I've told this maybe like somewhere, maybe on like Inside Jokes or something, but season one, there was a couple that was at IKEA shopping for furnishings for probably in a secret apartment because we filmed and they were like, you have to delete the footage. And they were like, why? They were like, this is not like if my wife sees this, this is bad.
If you know my what I mean? Wife sees
like
this.
It was this thing, like he just like put all his cards on the table and was like, there's no way I'm signing a release. In fact, I need you to like, this will ruin me, like all this stuff. And he was like probably furnishing his Gumar's, his Gumar's house. And so like, they were like, you have to get rid of this. And we were like, whoa, this is so weird. We had just started filming. This was at IKEA.
Right.
So was, like, we had just started the show. Like at this point, like we had actually, I think that was actually IKEA. I was, cause I saw a photo. I think it was like the final shoot of our first 8 episodes. We like, when the show started, we got an 8 episode order. And then our season 1 got added more episodes, but there was a small little break between the first 8. Than the back 8. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so we get to IKEA, it's our last thing, and like this happens, we're like, what kind of show are we making? We're like ruining lives, maybe. You know, exposing you know, infidelity. So that was one where it was like,
that's crazy. He was probably so nervous.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, well, he must have been freaking out after even said you wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
He didn't sleep for like 2 weeks after that.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he was just like, no TV. No, we're not watching TV anymore. Cheryl, we're not
watching TV. He canceled the cable after that.
Yeah.
Hey, we're cutting the cord.
But it was interesting because I remember I used to like do releases. Like everyone would pitch in. It was a really small crew. Like everyone did everyone's job. And there was a thing where like the people who would do the releases would sometimes, if a person were really not signed, they'd be like, we'll get the jokers to come and try to like talk to them. And like, you know, there were times that Sal would come and be like, I actually like, this is my livelihood. Like I'm trying to make this show happen. And Sal's like emphatic and like, you know, gets emotional and like really tries to like help when it's something that's important. And I think for this one, we were like, let's not even bring the jokers. There's no way. There's no selling. Like, you know, there's nothing, there's no conversation we're going to have that's going to like allow this.
I love like Sal going over like, listen, this is my livelihood. I know like a good couples counselor if you show your wife.
Yeah.
And like just explain to her why you need this other relationship. Maybe it can work. I don't know.
Season one was crazy. No, I mean like no one had even heard of the show, which like still happens. Yeah. There are times we film with people who are like, I don't even know what this is. But it was like, we never even had any credibility whatsoever. Like we didn't even have a poster for the show. Cause like now releases come and they're like, you're on a show, and they show the poster for Impractical Jokers or a YouTube clip. And they go, this is the show. And then they're like, oh, maybe I've heard of it or something. But then it was just like, hey, you're on a show that doesn't exist yet. Mm-hmm. Will you sign this release?
I wonder if people that are listening understand how insane it is, how popular this show got, because there's so many comics and people that constantly try to sell shows like this for the past 20 years. I mean, I'm talking every day, every network, there's people going in. So the fact that it got this big, this huge for this long is unreal.
It's kind of that lightning in the bottle, right?
It's a big deal.
Yeah, it's like perfect time, perfect place, perfect cast.
Yeah, it is. Everything just works. Yeah. I've seen so many funny ideas and funny people. And
yeah.
I think it helped being, starting it on a, even though I'm from the network, I'm just going to say this because I wasn't there at the time it was greenlit, but the network was smaller.
Yep.
And I think that really the show benefited from that because it might have gotten lost if the ratings weren't great the first season. It could have gotten canceled right away. This show was able to grow like
that's very
naturally
true.
And just get fan after fan after fan until it's this amazing thing.
Yeah, I know. It sounds like you know, we're sucking up, but really it's also the fans. Like it's the people.
Oh, it's all,
it's the word of mouth and spreading it. And people tell us all the time, they're like, you know, like, oh, I got into the show because this person told me about it and this person. And it's like the way that people spread the word. And like, it's really such a cool fan base. So this punishment was
loved it.
Wild.
Yeah. This was
I cannot believe it. The first Mark, I can't believe.
Yeah.
This man, I know we already gave out Mark of the episode, Casey.
Yes, I have.
But there's a couple people here that deserve it for different reasons.
Oh, yeah.
This first guy, Murr is blowing up that flamingo. I don't know how he did that. I don't think that's a real person. I think it's like a robot that's like learning to be a person that doesn't know that like a New Yorker would shut that down in a heartbeat.
Right.
Or New Jersey, and I forget where we shot this.
Yeah, where were you? You were in Jersey.
I think we're in Jersey. Right? I think we're in Jersey City.
Someone said Jersey on it.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm from Jersey, and I was shocked that they were so nice.
Oh, yeah, no, we're definitely in Jersey. Yes, 100% we're in Jersey. Yeah. The guys kept talking about it. Yeah, I remember now. Yeah.
But I love that woman that got out of her car.
Oh, that was the best. She was such a mother.
She was like, put him back in the booth, took money from the other guy.
That was unbelievable.
And then insisted on paying for her parking.
I know.
So like, through the, I pay for my parking.
I loved it.
Okay.
You take my $20.
Oh, okay, that's good. We're good. Okay, thank you.
Take the
$20. No, it's okay.
You go. I pay.
Okay.
Not mark of the episode, but she's in like the top five marks of the season. That
she was
doing
great.
That, the throwing the money like I pay for my parking.
Yeah,
fantastic move.
Yeah,
I mean, sometimes we have these ideas, like we talk out and we're like, I hope people react, and then this happens, and you're like, oh wow, this is
it's shocking. Those were shocking reactions to me. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah,
I mean, it was what, 6-7 minutes? I could not believe it. He's like, let him finish the puzzle. Remember?
Yeah,
yes.
Oh my god, what did you think of the guy who enjoyed the shaving of the legs?
I thought that was a fetish kind. I swear that's what
really?
I was like. Yeah. I'm like, why would he, a man?
Yeah. Well, if that is his fetish, then like his day was made.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
like, how are you calling all his friends? Like, thank you. How'd you set that up?
What are the odds?
Right.
You know,
right.
That
shaving
his fetish, like everything would line up.
Right.
Like, he just,
it's either a fetish or you think someone's mentally ill and you're just, you have like a mentally ill brother and you're like, okay, let him shave his legs. This is what Norman did our whole childhood.
That's
the only reason I could see.
He seemed too excited. Though, and he started filming. So
he
I didn't
even notice that.
Yes.
And so then, bananas.
And then the way it ends is beautiful as well.
Like, yeah, I could see being this last guy, just cursing him out.
So are you f-ing nuts?
Oh my god!
I'm telling you right now, don't f- with me.
He opened this door.
No, it's for you know. I'm competent. It's free. It's on us.
Give me my f-ing card, though.
It's on us. Here's your card. You have a great day. Hey, by the way. You ever hear of the TV show Impractical Jokers?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Like, yeah, that I feel like that. I would assume that was most people, and I'm glad that it wasn't. I'm glad we had this range of reactions.
Yes, agreed.
And all of these different tasks that Murray had to do, and it just made for this, like, epic punishment.
You know what's funny is, like, you know, with like expectations, like we did a punishment recently where Sal is behind the host desk at Delmonico's and he's telling people that like he doesn't have their reservation or like they can't, he's not going to redeem their reservation. And I thought that's where you get this reaction. Mm-hmm. And people were surprisingly more patient. It was still like an awkward thing to do. And then this, I was like, oh, we'll see what happens. Hopefully people react the way we expect them to. And it was even beyond.
Yeah.
So it's really a testament.
I was shocked. Yeah. I'm serious. I really was. Like, also, they have a horn. Like, no one did any. It was just unreal to me.
Felt like we weren't filming in Jersey, didn't it? I'm from Jersey as well.
Don't worry, felt like you were filming in Kansas or something where people, you know, they'll just say, I'll take a nap.
Exactly. It's like, it was unbelievable. A little bit of backstory on this. We were originally wanted to film it where the guys were playing. Still parking attendants, but they were valets before they went to get the car. It was like one pitch early on we're all talking about. Because we're like, well, if they have their car, they're either just going to drive away or drive around or just lean on their horn and wait for it to be over. And then we talked about doing it like in the city, and a lot of the ones in the city don't have the arm that comes down, that physical arm. And the guys are like, we 100% need that arm to come down. And they were right. Like, so again, good job on the locations team finding this place, wherever it was in New Jersey. They scoured the earth, or at least the New York City metro area, and found this place in New Jersey that had the arm that comes down, and the good people that worked at this place that would not flip out immediately. That must be a good company wherever we were filming.
Yeah, it's probably like a social service.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe it's a mental institution.
Yes, that's so funny.
Oh my God.
We just didn't tell the guys. They were like, we got a good spot. Yeah. We think it'll work out.
I know.
The kindest folk.
So fun.
That's hilarious.
This was a solid episode back.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Exciting.
Thank God.
To
good to be back. Good to laugh again.
Yeah.
I know.
It was a cold few months.
That's fun.
Now it's nice to be back.
Jessica, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. This was a blast. I loved this episode so much. I really was hysterically laughing.
And you know Sal pretty well.
I'm very good friends with him. Yeah. I love him dearly. He's incredible.
I pal around with him sometimes when he does like stand-up sets like around. And yeah. I saw you recently at Gotham and it was so funny.
Oh, thank you so much.
Like killed me funny. And like me and Sal were just dying laughing and we were like, she's the best. And can you let people know where else you're performing? I know you're, you're tonight in Yonkers, but I don't know if they can make it.
An Italian restaurant in Yonkers tonight.
I have a website, jessicakirsten.com, where people can see my upcoming dates. And then I have a podcast, Relatively Sane. And I have a special on Comedy Central.
Congrats.
If you go on Comedy Central, that was produced by Bill Burr. It came out like a month ago.
Amazing.
Called Talking to Myself.
That's right. Yeah. Great. Oh, it's so awesome. I'm excited. I mean, it's a good plug for the people listening, but I'm also excited to hear that.
Oh, good.
Great. Yeah.
That's great. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. We're back. Any other details that we need to tell, James?
I think that's it. We're on still Thursdays at 10, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be on the cruise soon. Jessica was on the cruise last year.
Yeah, I had a blast.
Your set, me and my wife, then girlfriend, and still talk about that set. That's the important part. Now that I've then got married. We were so inspired by her set that we then got engaged and married.
Yeah, I'm like a fluffer. Perfect. I always tell people that. Yeah,
exactly. It was fantastic.
So that's good. The cruise is coming up soon, and we're going to be going on that. That should be a lot of fun. And
Case, wait. Yeah, hold on. What? This just in. There's one thing to note. If you check out the Joker's video on demand folder, you might see a version of the episode with a little movie trailer attached to it. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
How do you do that, Tina?
Well, if you have cable, I don't have cable, so I'm not quite sure what goes on here. But there is a folder if you search for Impractical Jokers and all the episodes that are up on demand, video on demand. In that folder will be the trailer for the movie.
Check it out. The movie's coming out soon.
Second trailer for the movie.
Movie's coming out very soon. It's coming out in February. And also, we have an episode coming up next week, and here's a clip from it.
Yay.
I saw this over here. This. See how they put the chips there, those crispy chips that are taking over the market by storm?
Oh, yeah?
They put that right in the middle there? Mm. If you're not paying attention, you can own the supermarket.
Yes.
Really, they got to be careful.
Right.
You know what?
I'll tell you what would be nice. Tell you the truth.
You need money, Sal. You're going balls out on an elaborate gender reveal.
I'm going to end up buying about 6 dozen bagels now.
Yeah?
Okay, I'm going balls out on a gender reveal. You know, I got bills coming out the waz right now.
The waz.
Matter of fact.
Here we go.
I got 100 bagels to pay for.
I got to go trip over here.
All right. She ran. The woman ran.
There's negligence.
Are you all right?
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to the podcast, and we'll see you soon. On behalf of myself, Casey.
James.
Hi, Tina.
All right, nailed the landing. Thank you.